so glad that we are able to connect, especially during this time of the year. So many are eager to hear what you would like to share with them, what's on your heart.
Yes. The church is coming to the end of the year. And of course, when you come to the end, everybody always then starts, well, what's the goal? What's life all about? What's the end? Mm-hmm. And so the church is giving her people at this time of the year. I think we should realize that only 6% of the world's population is celebrating Thanksgiving. So her liturgy, though, is meant for the whole world. How appropriate they are as we come to a time like a feast or a celebration of Thanksgiving. And so how does the church help me prepare for Thanksgiving? People are shopping and people are traveling and people are exchanging recipes and all kinds of things are going on in preparation for Thanksgiving. And as the church is celebrating now and giving, and yes, she's gathering in her children and talking to them, that's what the Word of God is, the Word of God which we're reading. And the Word of God is actually concentrating on the end times, what is going to happen at the end of the world. And so the church is saying, well, this is the reading I would like to give my children as they come around, and we want to prepare for the end of the year. But as a mother is trying to gather her children and say, now, this life is going to happen. And what is going to happen to you? And so is it about death? No, it's about eternal life. How are you going to live forever with God? Are you prepared for that? And there's a very beautiful reading, and it's the last book of the Bible. Actually, it's the book of Revelation. And John says in his, it's just at the beginning, it's in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelations. He's talking to the churches of Asia. I, John, had a vision of an open door. That's so important. John is looking up to God, and he has a vision of an open door to heaven. And I heard a voice, a trumpet-like voice, say, come up here, and I will show you what is to be and going to happen. And wow, you know, he at once he saw and he caught sight of a throne and one who was seated on the throne in heaven. And on the throne was the one who appeared with sparkling like jaspers and chamomile. And around the throne was like a halo, a brilliant and emerald look to it. Surrounded the throne, I saw 24 elders. Remember, there are 12 apostles, and there were the 12 tribes. So now we have two sets of people who are around the thrones, and they're the elders. And there they are seated with crowns of gold. And they are in white vestments and white garments. They are clothed. The white is also a symbol of grace. They are filled with God's grace. And, of course, elderly, the holiness and the wisdom of these. And there they are, adoring the one on the throne. From the throne came flashes of lightning, thunder, rumbling, peals of thunder. And seven flaming torches burning from the throne, which are the seven spirits of God, the Holy Spirit. It come down in tongues of fire, and there are this same Spirit of God around the throne. And in the center and all around the throne, there were four living creatures, and they were to be, and they actually have been interpreted to be, the four evangelists. One was like a lion, the other a calf, a man, and an eagle. And they were all eyes, as they were before the throne. And they kept shouting with the elders, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanksgiving to the one who sits upon the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before the throne, casting down their royal crowns. "Worship are you, and worthy, Lord our God, to receive honor and glory and praise and power. For you created all things. Because of your will, they came to be. And all of creation is cast down before the throne, the one who is there, Jesus Christ." Now, this magnificent vision, which is given to us in the book of Revelations, John says there's an open door. And as I prayed this morning about this, what is that open door for you and for me this Thanksgiving? It's the heart of Jesus. You have enthroned Jesus in your home. His sacred heart is an open door. And as I woke up this morning and I read this, and I decided I'm going through that open door, and I walked into this for a time this morning. I get up early, about 3:30, and I prayed, and I prayed, and then I read this text, and I thought, I have a chance to be here in this open door. And I simply went in and sat there with him. You see, yesterday he said, "I come and I knock." And he's knocking at our door, and he's very gentle. He won't come in unless we invite him. But for him, in this text, he says to us, "I'm waiting for you. Why don't you come in?" And today I would just like to encourage you, go through that open door. Go into the heart of Jesus and be with him there. There are so many things in your life. I know when I went in, the first thing I wanted to talk to him about was the reason why I came here. And I began talking to him about my brother and my sister-in-law. You know, when you come to another home and a person, you want to give them something. I wanted to give them prayers for their intentions. And there was the pouring forth of thanksgiving for all the years. My brother had had two heart attacks and a stroke. And God brought him through so much. His wife and he, the story that they tell in our book, she almost died in childbirth when they were having their first child. Their first child almost died. It was premature, and how it had to be kept alive. And she, for a time, was thought to have blood cancer, the same kind that my sister died. And the turmoil in my family at the beginning of their marriage. And here they're now, coming through all those years. And we have the story in our autobiography of the death of their child. They have come through so much. And as I prayed and thanked God for them, and I thank God for what's on their mind, their intentions. I remember my brother shared with me on the day of one of his grandchildren's weddings. The granddaughter said to me, "You can't ever expect any children from us." And she's adamant against having children. And I know that has been like a wound in my brother's heart. And it's not just because she's not a Catholic, but it's because she seems to be so unaware of the power that she has in bringing forth children, and that marriage is about children. And so I knew he was carrying this as a difficulty in his heart. And so I remember just going to God for that particular intention. And I wanted to also think about and pray for the other grandchildren that he has and their marriages and their persons and the great grandchild that they do have and the great grandchild that they're expecting. So there's so many wonderful things that we can pray for, and I think it's so important that I would take that time today as I prayed for those, just to be in that open door with God. How much God wants to give to us. So as I sat there with the Lord in that open door, today I'm going to go to a priest has invited me to his parish. He's a pastor, and he asked me, he said, there's a person who has demonic activity. And so I began to pray around the person I'm going to meet. The evil spirit has so confused, and this pastor doesn't quite know what to do other than call me as an exorcist. So I'm going to pray with him. And there's the open door. Jesus and myself talking about how to drive out this demon from this person for today. That's one of the great invitations that I had from God. Brother Mauricio Torres was here yesterday, and he attended Mass with me. And he is for the extension of the Sacred Heart throughout the world. He's a young missionary from Chile, and he has great devotion to the Sacred Heart. And their order is founded on extending the reign of the Sacred Heart throughout the world. And I was able to pray with him and thank God and pray for his mission and all the things that he, with the help of God, might do. Now, it's like when you enter into the heart of God, when you enter into the Sacred Heart, which is an open door, each one of us can come. Are you listening to the television and concerned about the Middle East? Well, pray for them. Pray for the people in Syria. Pray for the people in Lebanon. Pray for the people in Israel. Pray for the people in Egypt. The Sacred Heart is so aware and is in charge of the all. You know, when you hear this, he's not a tinsel God. The power and the might and the majesty around the divine person. And we say of him, worthy are you. And he's right there in your heart, inviting you to come and be with him. Worthy are you, Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things. He created Syria. He created Israel. That's where he lived when he came down as a human. This one who is on the throne. He created everything in the world. For you created all things. Because of your will, they came to be and were created. You have all power. When you turn on your television sets, you don't have to sit helplessly by and say a third world war is impending. No, you have a power. Enter into the open door. I also thought of Jacqueline. Jacqueline had cancer, they called me and they asked me to pray with her. She had cancer, and we prayed several years ago, and the cancer disappeared, and the tumor's coming back. I had a power in Jesus to pray for her, and that I have been praying not only that she'll be healed, but that she will be peaceful, and that the cancer will be driven back and out again. And so you and I constantly are here at the open door. What is there that you want from the Lord? What is there that you have to take your time at this time? If you're preparing recipes, and if you're spending a day in travel, how important it is that you take into the open door, each one, and to go into your own heart and begin to ask our Lord for what you want. The gospel tells us about Jesus, and I'd like to read that because it's like a condemnation for some of us who aren't using what we have this time. While people were listening to Jesus speak, he was proceeding to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and they thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at any time or immediately. So he said to them a parable. There was a nobleman who went to a distant country to obtain the kingship for himself, and then to return, he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 golden coins and told them, engage in trade with these until I return. His fellow citizens, however, despised him, and they sent a delegation after him to announce, we do not want you to be the one to be our king. But when he returned after obtaining the kingship, he had the servant call in to whom he had given the money to learn what they had done with the 10 coins. The first came forward and said, sir, your golden coins have earned 10 additional ones. He replied, well done, good and faithful servant, who have been faithful over very small matters. Therefore, I shall put you in charge of 10 cities. Then the second came and reported, your golden coins have gained 6 more. I have 5 more than I have gained. And to this servant he said too, you take your charge of 5 cities. Then the others came and said, sir, here is your gold and coin. I kept it stored away in a handkerchief, for I knew you were a very stern man, and you would demand something for where you did not invest, and you harvested where you did not plant. He said to them, with your own mouth I shall condemn you, for you knew, you wicked servant, you knew I was a demanding man, taking up what I did not put down, and harvesting where I did not plant. Why did you then not put the money into a bank? Then on my return I would have collected it with interest. And to this servant he said, take the gold coin away from him and give it to the one who has 10. But they said to him, sir, he already has 10 golden coins. He replied, I tell you, to everyone who has, more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has shall be taken away. Now as for those who did not want me to reign over them, my enemies, bring them here before me. I will slay them before me. After he had said this, he pressed on in his journey toward Jerusalem. You see, he was talking to people who really didn't want him at all, that they didn't want the kingship of Jesus Christ. They didn't want this spiritual kingship. And so these were the ones who didn't want them, but there were also those who had been entrusted with the money of the nobleman. And so he was telling them, and who are they? This lesson is for us. You're the one who has been given this power in the kingdom. He's trusted you as his servant. And what has he given you? I give you my heart. I give you my sacraments. I give you my graces. I give you my mother as your mother. You who have been from my kingdom and my kingship, I have given you all of these powers. What have you done with what you've been given? And so there are those who have been given these things and aren't using them at all. The point is, you know, the church is coming to the end times. And here we are in this preparation for Thanksgiving. What a golden opportunity each of us has. How often have you prepared for Thanksgiving by simply a spiritual preparation? To ask your family to do a holy hour before the enthroned image of the Sacred Heart in your home. To gather around and to pray in preparation for the rosary. Those people that are going to be coming. So often, the lady who was on the plane, the stewardess, and she said, so many hate the holidays. They come together and they gorge themselves on food and they travel miles, but they have such an empty, unhappy, miserable time as they gather on Thanksgiving or even as now preparing for Christmas. We are God's children. We have so many magnificent gifts that we have received. And to be given this opportunity, what a golden opportunity this is. And as a father, as a mother, as a grandparent, to begin your preparation for Thanksgiving with prayer. Pray. Pray for the children. Pray for your brothers and sisters. And if you aren't going to be at home for Thanksgiving with others, pray for them. All the magnificent, wonderful gifts that each of us have been given. And so they're my reflections that I'm happy to have with you as we prepare for tomorrow's feast of the Thanksgiving.
How beautiful that image of the door being the heart of Jesus.
Yes, and it's open. You know, his heart is wide open. Come, come, he say. And you know, even if you could hear that voice like a trumpet sound, come up here and I will show you what heaven is like. To enter into the heart of Jesus and to be there, the intimate love that he has for you. And that when it was so beautiful, I just went into my room, closed the door, and was there with him. And I got up about 3:30, and about 5:30, you know, was realized that I was just concluding my prayer. When I read the text and said, oh, your heart is the open door. I'll come in.
What stops us, Monsignor? What stops us from walking through that door? I know we get so busy and we do so many things, but wow, what an invitation.
And I think in all honesty, I think so many, when I read the gospel, that image was in the Book of Revelations, but when I read the Gospel of Luke today, where Jesus is looking at the man who had received these coins, these 10 golden coins, and just kept them in a handkerchief and just gave it back to him. I just think how we have not used, you know, just to take this golden coin, which is the heart of Jesus, and to take it out of your pocket and to put it before you. And I have an image that I have. It's in my, I carry with me a little icon of the Sacred Heart. And it's such an invitation. It's such an opportunity. And I would encourage you, there is something about having the image that makes it a little easier to take time every day to go into the open door and take the time.
Any final thoughts, Monsignor?
I just pray that I am thankful to you, Chris, for the opportunity that you give me each day to speak and to be with so many here. But I think also, in finally, of those in the United States who are offering thanks, to see our country today as the one, and we are the lepers, and he wants to cleanse us as the one who would come back to Jesus and say thank you. Do you remember this, the story? There were 10 lepers, and 9 did not return to say thanks. So that we as a nation could just come to our Lord this particular Thanksgiving and simply thank him for the blessings that he has given us. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairie to the ocean white with foam, God bless America, my home, our home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful. Thank you for that gift, Monsignor.
God bless you.